A Madison startup that works on nuclear fusion is making a big announcement about its future. It could bring hundreds of jobs to the region. It's Wednesday, July 15th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up on the show today, Democratic candidates for governor try to capitalize after Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez stumbles. Plus, in a bipartisan vote, Wisconsin election officials say Elon Musk likely broke state laws in the 2025 Supreme Court election.
Elon Musk and two nonprofit organizations he controls did in Wisconsin as part of the spring 2025 election was illegal.
Stay with us.
From the inner workings of the government to the creatives making waves in the arts, Morning Edition lets you hear directly from people making headlines.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is with us.
That's writer and director Ava DuVernay.
I spoke recently with Billie Eilish and her brother slash producer slash co-writer Phineas.
Listen weekdays for conversations and stories that go deeper than sound bites on Morning Edition from NPR News.
A site that represents Madison's industrial past will get new life as the host of a research and development facility aimed at helping power the future. As Joe Schultz reports, a Madison nuclear fusion startup plans to redevelop the site of the former Oscar Mayer plant.
Realta Fusion selected OM Station in Madison to be the site of its new headquarters and research facility. It was once home to Oscar Mayer, which left in 2017. Realta has around 50 employees and hopes to grow that number to 600 over time. They will work on developing fusion energy technology. CEO Kieran Furlong says the former Oscar Mayer site is the ideal location.
OM Station has office space. It has industrial space that we can use for R&D facilities. It's got the power availability. And then the talent one, we think we're solving that through the availability of local talent plus the ability to attract it here as well.
The company says it has secured up to $55 million in development incentives from the state and the city. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Democratic candidates for governor are seizing on the news that Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez's campaign is short hundreds of thousands of dollars. Her competitors in the race each released statements saying that the errors went unnoticed for too long and that Rodriguez has not been transparent enough. They're arguing that the situation is disqualifying. Anthony Chergowski is a political science at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. He said the stumble could open up opportunity for candidates who were lagging behind Rodriguez in the polls. He argued that former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes especially could benefit by appealing to voters who think Representative Francesca Hong is too far left.
This is a time for Barnes to say, hey, if you have concerns about Hong's electability, and you have concerns about Rodriguez's viability as a candidate, I'm your guy.
Rodriguez blamed the shortfall on mismanagement by a now-fired campaign manager. The Democratic primary is 4 weeks away. The Wisconsin Elections Commission says there's probable cause to believe billionaire Elon Musk broke the state's election bribery law in last year's Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Rich Kramer reports.
With a 5-1 closed session vote last week, the commission referred two complaints against Musk to the Brown County District Attorney's Office. The complaints are not publicly accessible, but a letter to Musk appears focused on one of his social media posts ahead of last year's Supreme Court race. In it, Musk promised to give out $2 million checks in Green Bay in appreciation to those who had voted ahead of the Supreme Court election. A civil suit filed by liberal firm Law Forward makes similar claims. Attorney Jeff Mandel says the commission vote boosts their argument.
We've long believed that what Elon Musk and two nonprofit organizations he controls did in Wisconsin as part of the spring 2025 election was illegal.
Any criminal charges against Musk would have to come from the Brown County DA, who is a Republican. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
As we move closer to the August 11th primary election, three Democrats in the 7th Congressional District are hoping for the nomination and to flip the district blue. But that's a tough challenge. The district has been a Republican stronghold for years. The Democratic candidates Fred Clark, Ginger Murray, and Chris Armstrong all stand against President Trump. They don't agree with his policies on immigration, health care, and the war in Iran, but they all agree the district could turn to Democrats. Murray explained why during a primary debate hosted by WJFW last night.
They are looking for a progressive candidate. They are tired of the corruption that is happening in Washington, D.C. They want people who are listening and showing up.
Each candidate has a different approach. Clark promises to work with Republicans on solution. Armstrong wants to impeach Trump, and Murray stresses the need for the rule of law. With high temperatures blanketing much of the state, cities are grappling with how to keep people cool. For Madison Emergency Management Coordinator Colton Ritchie, that means getting the word out.
Mostly what we're doing, though, is really doing messaging. We want to make sure that people know how to keep themselves safe, how to see the signs of heat-related illness, and know what they can do to stay prepared and stay cool in this extreme heat.
That's especially important for older adults and children. Cooling centers across Madison and the state have been set up in libraries, museums, and community centers. Ritchie told WPR's Wisconsin Today he recommends going to local pools and splash pads and staying hydrated. While the heat is expected to stay throughout the week, cooler temperatures should make their way to Wisconsin this weekend. Coming up after the break, how a small community got its revenge after it was left off the Wisconsin map. Stay with us. It's time for Wisconsin Life. Festivals are a summer staple in Wisconsin, from 4th of July parades to Summerfest, concerts to more niche local celebrations. One small village in Winnebago County gets together every July to commemorate a unique piece of its history, the time it briefly seceded from the state of Wisconsin. Reporter Colleen Leahy brings us this story about the Winneconne Sovereign State Days.
Driving out of Madison one July morning a few summers ago, I had no trouble finding Winneconne, a small village just west of Oshkosh.
Your destination is on the left.
But Winneconne hasn't always been so easy to find.
Because we were left off the map.
That's Jordan Dunham, president of Winneconne's Sovereign State Board.
It all started back in 1967 when a salesman from Milwaukee came to town, and he was complaining that he couldn't find Winneconne on the map.
That's because Winneconne wasn't actually on the official state highway map. The entire village had been left off, like it wasn't even there to begin with. And that was a problem, because it was 1967. People had to use physical maps.
People couldn't see us on the map. They didn't know where to go.
So, a woman named Vera Kitchen took matters into her own hands. Kitchen was president of the Winneconne Chamber of Commerce. She fired off a letter to the governor of Wisconsin, Warren P. Knowles, requesting that Winneconne be put back on the map. Governor Knowles wrote back with an explanation. Knowles said that during the printing process, the name of Winneconne was, quote,
obliterated.
And the mistake wasn't caught during proofreading. Quote,
the safeguards have been established to prevent such occurrences in the future. It will definitely appear on the 1968 map.
That was not good enough for the people of Winneconne. So,
We seceded from the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, seceded from the state of Wisconsin. Village leaders sprung into action. They sent an official declaration of secession to Governor Knowles. And on July 22, 1967, Winneconneans lowered the Wisconsin state flag and raised the new sovereign state's flag, emblazoned with nature's most infamous underdogs.
You can see this is a dodo bird. That was sovereign state's bird. My name is Mary Lou Schrader. I am on the board of the Winneconne Historical Society. Down there is poison ivy. So that's our flower. Over here is a stinky skunk. That's our animal. And down there is our fish, which is a sheephead. They're just not a liked fish. So they picked all unlikable things. And of course, in the middle, it's got Sovereign State of Winneconne. We like it where? Because we weren't on the map. So that's how that slogan started.
But the new sovereign's flag didn't fly for long. Governor Knowles called village leaders to apologize and assured them that Winneconne would never be left off the map again. That year, 1967, there wasn't just a flag ceremony. There was also a huge party. And nearly every year for the past five decades, The town has been continuing that tradition by throwing a four-day festival called Sovereign State Days, all to celebrate that little moment when the Winneconne flag did fly.
Because we were left out on the map, everybody decided we're going to have our own parade.
That's Winneconne in a nutshell. If we can do something, we're going to do it, essentially.
They forgot to put us on a map one year, and we're real stubborn. We're very upset about that. But look, we're still celebrating it.
Whether they're on the map or not, part of Wisconsin or not, Winneconneans always seem to be able to find one another.
Colleen Leahy brought us that story on Winneconne Sovereign Days, which is taking place tomorrow through Sunday. The piece was produced by Sarah Hopeful. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. And now for a check of the forecast. Another very hot day across the state. A heat warning does stay in effect until Thursday night in the west central areas. And an air quality alert is in effect for the entire state through noon Thursday. And that's for increasing wildfire smoke particles. Temperatures today will likely then hit the upper 80s to mid 90s. And then tonight, partly cloudy and not quite as comfortable. Lows will only drop to the mid to upper 60s. And then tomorrow, partly sunny and quite warm with temperatures in the mid 80s to low 90s. And isolated showers possible in the afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. We really appreciate it. And we want to let our listeners know there is some exciting news. I was informed in the wee hours of the morning that I needed to host because Alex's second child is on the way. So we'll keep you up to date, of course, on tomorrow's podcast. Thanks again, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.